Get ready for a plot twist times two. This is the Two Sentence Horror Story After Show.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, everybody. Yes, I am here. I'm dancing with myself. It is me, Mia Brabham. I am your host tonight of the Two Sentence Horror Story After Show with the only AfterBuzz TV. Like I said, it's going to be an amazing show. This is the first episode, second episode. So new. It's so good. We're going to dive into and talk about episode one called Gentlemen. Episode two titled Squirm. I'm going to talk about my overall thoughts, everything about those two episodes. We're going to play a special game called Truth or Scare. We're going to go over our top three anthology series of all time. And then we'll say bye until next time. But it's going to be a really fun show. Like I said, I'm here. It's going to be like a fun vlog. And I'm really excited to do this with you guys. So, as I said, this is supposed to be a really scary series. It's really awesome. I love how it's originated. Basically, it's a series based off of two sentences, and you basically write a horror story in two sentences, and it's based on fan fiction, actually. So it's this huge hit that was online. People started doing it on Board Panda and Reddit and all these online sites, and so they thought, hey, let's make it into a web series. And then it became a TV series on the CW, so it's really, really awesome to see. My overall thoughts on the show. First off, love the diversity. I love that we had an Asian American woman in the first episode, and we had an African American woman as a lead in the second show. That was really awesome to see. But I feel like there was a trend. No notifying the authorities. I was really worried for these girls. I was like, somebody call the police because it is getting crazy up in here. But like I said, so good. So let's dive right into episode one, titled Gentlemen. It starts off, which I love this format of the show, it starts off with this sentence. She was stiff and cold in my arms, and I already had the shivers, which was super scary. And so we meet the main character, Hannah. She seems pretty nice, relatively nice, and, you know, she's on a date, and we can tell that they met through an online dating website or app or profile, something like that, and so she meets this guy named Ken. This is who she's on the date with, and he's in scrubs. I don't know about you guys, but I saw that he was in scrubs, and I was like, this can't be good. I feel like there's always, like, some creepy doctor vibes going on in these horror shows. You just know it's bad when he's a doctor. At least, I don't know, maybe I've been watching shows with bad doctors, but I don't know about you guys. That's what I thought, so I was just like, this can never be good. And the music was eerie. And honestly, based on how Hannah was acting in her solo scenes, you see her interacting with the dollhouse and with her baby at home. She's a single mom. And then you see Ken. I honestly didn't know who the villain was at first. I thought, of course, maybe the guy, like I said, maybe the doctor, Ken, and the scrubs. But then seeing how Hannah was at home and how creepy she was, I didn't get good vibes about her either. So I like that it immediately set the story up, and we couldn't tell. We knew who our protagonist was, which was Hannah, the single mom, but you couldn't really tell who the villain was or who was the scary one in the situation, which I really liked. And I just saw how fixated she was on her kid, and I thought it was kind of creepy how she was like, you know, you're mine, like, you're my little baby. And it seemed really weird. And then also the fact that she left off her profile that she had a kid. I mean, maybe single moms are trying to get out there. Actually, no, I work with a single mom, and, you know, she's putting herself out there, which is awesome. But I don't know. Do you leave something like that off your profile? If you are a single mom, should you say you have a kid? Should you not? So you can, you know, be on fair playground with everybody else. I'm not sure, but that was interesting that she left it off. So I knew something might not be quite right with her from the beginning. And then you see the doctor, and he's with another woman. And I had so many questions at first. I was like, oh, no, he has a wife. And then I was like, okay, not a wife. He's dating her. But she has a son. And I was like, okay, this can't be good. And then it hit me. He's the villain. Maybe not Hannah. So her bedroom was kind of weird. She had these weird lights. And I was like, she does seem kind of like a weird mom. Like, it's just weird vibes from her. And then we see him kill her, unfortunately. And so we know, we see in the show that he's set up as the bad guy, which was super interesting. And, you know, he says, you're bad. And she's like, ooh, am I? And he's like, no, you're a bad mom. And I was like, this is wild. And then my question was, I guess at the end of the scene when he killed her, He called the police. He's the only one on the show who's called the police. I wish all the other characters who need it would take notes from him. He called the police and he said, you know, there's an abandoned baby. And I have a lot of questions because, one, sir, you just killed a woman. She's in the other room. Two, aren't they going to know that you did it? And what is going to happen to this baby? I wanted to see more. I know we only have 30 minutes for these shows and I want more, but I wanted to know more about that situation. I thought that was really interesting and I would have loved to see how that would have played out. It was very true crime-esque for me. And I wanted more of that. Maybe they'll make another episode like it. Who knows? But the question that all left me with was, would he kill a good mom? And then this made me more interested and it propelled the episode and the storyline forward because I was wondering, okay, we've seen a little bit of Hannah and she seems to be a good mom, but how good of a mom is she? And we kind of see her take care of her baby and how much she loves her baby. And so I'm convinced, and even though the acting was so good because I was convinced in moments when they went on their second date and, you know, he was saying, oh, you're such a good mom, you really like her and all this stuff. You can kind of see that he felt bad in some moments. I almost felt like in his eye and when, you know, she leaned against Ken, I felt like, oh, he's really thinking maybe I couldn't kill her. She's a good mom. But then we're wrong because right when I think that, he freaks out on her. He's calling her crazy. He says to her, you know, why don't we go home and put the baby's name is Iris? Why don't we go home and put Iris to bed? And she's like, no, sir, you just met me. We're on a second date. Let's have more dates. She's very kind about it, but he freaks out. And that's when I know, okay, he's crazy. I hope she gets out of the situation alive. And I love that they included some men were taking a run in the park and they asked her, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. But I really like that they included, you know, somebody looking out for other females and making sure they're okay in a weird situation. So I said, yay for those guys. I wrote that down in my note. I was really happy about that. But I think the big thing, basically from this point, you know, going forward, I think the big theme here is not just, you know, going out on online dating. I think it's a lot about of how much information do you put out. So the guy knows where he works. Ken knows where Hannah works. He starts going to her job. He starts sending her text messages. He starts calling her. He sends her email. So he has a lot of her information. It kind of made me think of my own life, especially, you know, in 2019 with all these privacy conversations going on. I think that was a real theme here of how much information should you put out. So that was really interesting. And I also wrote in my notes, how is she not calling the authorities? Like I said, nobody in the show is calling the authorities. And then the scene escalates. So we see, you know, after, like I said, he goes to her job, he's showing up, calling her all the time. Finally, it escalates to the point where she's laying in bed and she wakes up and he's behind her and he drags her down the stairs, you know, is yelling at her, saying she's a bad mom, all this stuff, and, you know, like just making her feel really bad. And then we get the, like I said in the intro, we get the biggest plot twist ever. He goes into her room and the baby's room and, you know, he goes to see Iris and to pick her up and she's fake. I have a lot of questions, though, because I'm guessing she's a doll. But for a minute, I thought maybe, oh, my gosh, this is so dark. But I thought maybe is she a dead baby? And then it's like she's inside, like the mom built a shell around the baby as a fake baby. It was really weird. But basically, we found out, like my instinct said in the beginning, she's also a villain and she's also kind of scary. And she's had this fake baby all along and she's been lying to everyone at work. She's been lying to him, to herself. But she's convinced this baby is real. And as we found out earlier in the episode, she has had miscarriages. She says her story is that she had 5 miscarriages and then her husband left her. So then now she finally has a baby, but didn't go into detail. I figured maybe it was IBF, something like that. And then also we find out that Ken had mom issues. His mom left. So it's kind of crazy that they both talked about, you know, their backgrounds and their issues, but both of them didn't see it in each other that maybe, you know, something was wrong with either of them. And of course, she stabs in the back. We find out both of them are weird. But for a minute, I will say this. I don't know about you guys. I thought that it was really smart for a moment because she had, you know, if let's say Hannah wasn't crazy, if you knew someone was coming after you and was constantly coming to your house, maybe stalking you, calling you, to have a fake baby in the crib and maybe put the baby, the real baby, somewhere else that's unsuspecting at night. I thought that was smart. But then it just turns out she was a weirdo. So anyways, the last sentence of that 2-sentence horror story was, then the doll blinked. So the total story is, she was stiff and cold in my arms, then the doll blinked. I thought that was so creative that this was a story they created out of it. It wasn't maybe like an Annabelle or a Chucky. It was this whole story about online dating and themes, and it gave me Black Mirror vibes. So loved that. And I love this concept of how they reveal a second line at the end. So that was that whole first story comment. Tell me what you think, guys. I love to hear what you think in these comments. I'm always down in the comment box. But before we move on to episode 2, I have a message just for you guys listening and watching. Thank you so, so much for tuning in to AfterBuzz. We call ourselves the ESPN of TV Talk because we have a number of shows and genres, all of that good stuff for you guys to watch. We are so, so happy to be here each week, but we couldn't be here without your support. So if you're watching, if you're listening, give us 5 stars on iTunes, give us a like, subscribe, hit that bell notification on YouTube so you can get notification every time we have a new episode. We just love to be here. Thanks to Kevin and Maria, and we love our producers, you know, Bree, Jonathan. We get to be here and we're very lucky we can do it, but it's only with the support of you guys. So thank you again for watching and letting us all live out our dreams and practice our dreams. And it's just a dream. So thank you guys for watching. Thanks for subscribing and rating. And we can't wait to keep doing this. It's going to be awesome. So episode 2, it just gets crazier, y'all. So episode 2 is titled Squirm. And our main character is Keisha. The sentence that this episode starts us off with is, I felt my skin crawl. That can mean a lot of things. I really wasn't sure, but we will find out. So we see Keisha and she's drinking at work. And I was like, you know, this might be an ideal office environment, just having a good time. I don't know. But, you know, it starts to get kind of weird. I'm getting Truman Show vibes. And, you know, she kind of feels like everyone's watching her and she's drinking and you just know something bad is going to happen. So, you know, I thought there might be some disease or something going on with her, but we'll get to that later. So she goes home. She's had a good night at the party. She wakes up and she sees a note and it says, you know, you're not going to remember last night. So something's inside of you and maybe I put it there. And it was just a weird note. Didn't really know what was going on. And like I said, maybe I thought it would be a disease, but it wasn't a disease. It was something else, and I don't think we ever really get real answers, but right away I thought maybe, you know, when she went to the mirror and she pulled up her shirt, I thought it would say, you know, I didn't even think it would say anything. I thought it would just be like skin crawling or a weird rash, but it was a note, and it was basically like, you know, like, hey, what's up? Like, I see you. And it was like some sarcastic message, which I thought was really weird and creepy, and she couldn't erase it because it was in Sharpie. And it was kind of weird because the whole episode, which we'll find out later on, it was giving me kind of like sexual vibes, like the messaging that they left. And it's like, you know, there's something inside of you and maybe I left it there. And then all this stuff of her waking up and not remembering the night before, it was giving me like very sexual undertones, even though it wasn't outright. And so, but then we see her go and, you know, she thinks she got raped. So she's getting a rape kit. It's humiliating. It's so sad to watch. And, you know, we see, this is the first time we see it when she's sitting in the doctor's office and she's getting, you know, tested for the rape kit. She's scratching her arm and we see that it's red. And for me, I was wondering if it was almost because she's like a nervous tick, if it was self-inflicted and so her skin was getting red and itchy, or if it was really a rash and she was just scratching the rash. But we didn't get any explanation. And then a lot of the episode is her, you know, waking up and thinking there's worms crawling out of her and she's feeling weird and abnormal. There's all this weird stuff going on with her. But I'm just wondering the entire time, I'm like, can she text people? I'm like, she should be able to maybe text people from work and say, you know, did anything else weird happen to you? Did you see anything? But instead she shuts down and she's in her apartment. She lives alone. She's not going out anywhere. And we just see most episode, like I said, she's breaking down. So I feel like it was kind of slow in the middle, but then we start to get somewhere and it honestly made me itch a little. I was scratching. At one point I was like, I can't look. I gotta look away. It wasn't scary. It was more just like graphic and creepy. But then there's a handwriting all over the place. Like I said, they're leaving notes and all of this stuff. And so I'm wondering, you know, again, I have questions. One, girlfriend, why aren't you notifying anybody? Two, do you recognize the handwriting? He's leaving you all these notes. He's sliding them under the door. Maybe it's the handwriting, you know. And that was my first thought. And so then we see at the end, it's the coworker she keeps having flashbacks to. And she doesn't say anything to him about what happened, but she's thinking that maybe he did it. And so he says, hey, you know, guess what? Keisha, I'm going to a different job. And she's like, huh? And he's like, I'm going to a different job. And she mishears him. And then he touches her shoulder and she freaks out because she thinks it's him. But we find out it's not him. She goes into her boss's office and he's being super, super creepy. And he is the one who did it all. And what I love about this is that it gave me too, like, it was almost like a nod to the Me Too movement without going into any like political details or anything like that. It was very much like a nod to it without actually, you know, diving into any of it and saying, you know, she was actually raped. It was more of like this disease inside of her. And we see that when she talks to the boss, he is also like coughing and he's being weird. He says the big line is, he says, I have it. Now you have it too. And you'll always think of me. And then my favorite part of this, even though the episode was kind of slow moving for me, my favorite part is at the very end when she, I think, poisons him. And I think, what is it? She gives him live tapeworm eggs. We see a little jar of it and she gives him live tapeworm eggs. And so she basically, you know, makes him even more sick. And I love, love, love that it was the shot. It was him choking. And then it was the shot of her, Keisha. And then we see her two coworkers behind her in the background. We can't really see their faces. It's out of focus. And we see them all turn their heads almost like robots at the same time. And they just start smiling. And so it shows that all these other women in the office, they were also maybe poisoned by him or given this disease. And the same thing happened to them. So we see, like I said, this Me Too nod. That's kind of like, this has happened to women. And maybe they didn't originally talk about it with each other. They kind of shut down. But then in the end, it takes one person to say, you know, no more of this, and call attention to it. And then everybody, you know, comes in and says, hey, this has happened to me too. And it encourages people to share. Maybe not poison people with live tapeworms. We'll let the authorities take care of it. Like I said, people call the authorities. But I thought I had a good message. And so that is all of that. Those were the rundowns of those two episodes. We're going to play a little special segment called Truth or Scare, which I came up with. And basically, ooh, oh my gosh, this music gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's so creepy. So we're going to play Truth or Scare. And in this game, I'm going to talk about the truth. Here's my take. Here's Mia's take on what these characters should have done. And then also what's so scary about that situation. So in the first episode, 101, gentlemen, if I were a mom, this is my whole thing. This is where I think I would have come into the story. She clearly goes the entire episode without telling anybody about what's happening. Not, you know, her coworkers, even when he shows up at her job for an interview, I think she works in real estate and he's looking, you know, he's trying to be a client. They say nothing. She just stares at him. She doesn't tell her coworker, we can't take this client. He's been stalking me. Nothing. I shouldn't say as a mother, I'm not a mom, but as an imaginary mother, if I was a mother, when I am a mother, I would do everything to protect my child. I would not put them in harm's way if I knew this person. The minute he started texting me, I mean, well, first of all, he attacked her in the park and was yelling at her. But the minute he started texting me and said, you know, I'm so sorry about what I did. I'm sorry I grabbed you the wrong way. I'm a good person. Please forgive me. And he goes, Hannah, why aren't you answering me? I would have blocked his number. That would have been my first call. But then I also maybe would have, I don't know, after he shows up at my job, called the police, but instead she goes home. So I think that was really creepy. That's what I would have done in that situation. That's my truth. And I think the scariest part about this, like I said, is that the information that's out there is wild. I feel like I need to go check my LinkedIn, my Instagram. I'm like, what email? What did I put a phone number out there? Like, what do I have listed on all my profiles? And do I have information listed? Because a lot of the times, we aren't looking into these privacy policies on, you know, I'm in a relationship, so I'm not on Hinge, but it's like, what information are you giving to people? Are you telling them where you work? Are you telling them what you do? It makes me just kind of want to look into my own life and say, how much have I put out there? Because it could be bad. And then truth or scare for 102, I would say that I also probably would have notified the authorities for that one. And maybe just the first thing I would have done is ask the office, I think. I would have asked everybody the next day. I mean, you have to have like a work wife or coworkers you trust. I would have been like, hey girl, did you see anything happen last night? What do you remember? But the girl didn't ask anyone. So it was a little unrealistic. I wanted her to ask somebody for help. Maybe that's the big trend and lesson here. Who knows? But the big scare for me in that episode is just, it's maybe not even you know, the boss at the end. But for me, it's just not knowing what's going on with you. That's the freakiest part, I think, is that she goes for so long and it's like this thing's inside of you. And even at the end, when she goes to the doctor and the psychologist and all this stuff, and he says, you know, I put something inside of you, she still doesn't know. And that is what's scary for me in those situations. Oh boy, that was a lot. That's the Truth or Scare segment. But now we're going to go into our top three. And so our top three on this show for Two Sentence Horror Stories celebrates something dealing with the show, something surrounding the show. And so, as you guys know, I'm a huge horror fanatic. I love scary movies. I love anything thriller, whether it's psychological, whether it's slasher, I'm game for it. So for our top three, we are going to do the top three anthology TV series that are happening right now or are current. Maybe they're off air, maybe a season's coming up, but we're going to talk about all of that. So we're going to count backwards to build some suspense. So number three on the anthology series, ooh, I love this creepy music, setting the tone. Number three is What If on Netflix. So it's starring Renee Zellweger. It's going to be an anthology. There's only been one season, but it's basically kind of like, you know, this the whole scenario where there's a woman and she wants to pay somebody, somebody's boyfriend to come over and maybe have sexual relations with her. But the whole series is based around ethics and morals and what you would do in that situation. The title is called What If. Clearly, they have the powerhouse Renee Zellweger, and the plot is interesting because it makes you question every episode what you would do in that scenario, and then the effects of one choice you make. So that is number three. Number two, of course, is Black Mirror. It's an amazing show, also on Netflix, and we see every episode is different. It's creative. It's almost sci-fi, but it's a lot of technology. Again, in these anthologies, we see lessons a lot with ethics and what you would do in these situations, and they just built this entire empire around Black Mirror. It's really expanded. I mean, Miley Cyrus is on it as Ashley O. Crazy. That's number two. And number one, my personal favorite, I've been a big fan each season going all the way back, Ryan Murphy's American Horror Story. Gotta love it. I cannot wait for this slasher upcoming season. It's gonna be so good. I've loved every single season. Clearly Coven. Clearly the first season Murder House. Yes, I visited the house twice in Los Angeles when you live here. It was the very first thing I did. It's just such this universe surrounding it. Again, with powerhouses, Angela Bassett, Jessica Lange, all of these amazing, amazing people. I mean, there's so many more than the Emma Roberts. Gosh, there's so many people. But it's a great show. And Ryan Murphy just is an incredible showrunner and writer, from Glee to this to Pose. He can do anything. And I think American Horror Story was the first of its kind. It's really just set the door open for anthology series. So thank you to our top three. We love you for all that you are. Thanks for giving us good TV. Bless you. And that, I think, pretty much wraps up our show. Next week, we're going to come back. We're going to hopefully have a bigger panel, which will be really exciting. But thank you all so much for watching today. I'm so lucky to have you guys as an audience. You can find me on Instagram at Yours Truly Mia. You can find me on Twitter at Hot Mess Mia. And you can find me also, I have a YouTube channel. I'll comment below. Say hi anytime. Thanks again for watching AfterBuzz. We love all of you out there for letting us do what we do and talk about TV with us. Have a good one, and we'll see you next Thursday. Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.